Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Monsignor Pavanka, pastor at St. Elizabeth of Hungary in Alice, Texas. How are you, Monsignor?
I'm doing just fine. Good to be here.
Thank you. Now, I've had you here in the past, but today we're going to exclusively speak about marriage, which is a very beautiful topic, but it also comes with particular questions. Before we get started, though, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've been pastor at St. Elizabeth of Hungary since 2000, and prior to that, I did serve in the tribunal for several years as an advocate and then as judicial vigor from about 1988 to 2000, and so I have experience in marriage and the laws of the Church.
Okay. What is the tribunal? And I'll follow that up with what is a judicial vigor for our listeners.
A tribunal is a court. Tribunal means like a court. And as a court, just much like a civil court, there's a judge, and we have lawyers in the Catholic Church. And this court principally serves as a forum for judging marriage nullity. That's the main reason why of course, there are such other courts, like for imposing a penalty. If someone is deserving of a penalty, you can have a tribunal court set up for that. But principally, the main reason why the Church has, like, courts or tribunals is to make decisions on the validity of marriages, whether a nullity petition is there or not.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead then and start speaking about marriage itself. I'd like for you to give me your thoughts on marriage, how it's just a beautiful sacrament, the sacrament of matrimony. We hear about marriage in Genesis, the very beginning of Scripture.
Right.
And I'd like for you to speak to me a little bit about marriage in general and God's purpose for marriage.
Yeah, I think marriage is a tremendous vocation, a tremendous sacrament. And, whenever I have the Code of Canon Law with me, as you can see, though the audience can't see the book here, but there's a beautiful way of describing marriage in the Code of Canon Law, which describes it in this way. The matrimonial covenant by which a man and a woman established between themselves a partnership for the whole of life and which is ordered by its nature to the good of the spouses and the procreation and education of offspring has been raised by Christ the Lord to the dignity of a sacrament between the baptized. That's Canon 1055. And I want to point out to the audience that that's the definition of marriage as created by God. This man and a woman, which brings about procreation and offspring. That is marriage. It's a beautiful sacrament. Man and woman come together and make this kind of a partnership of life. They raise a family. Of course, they have kids, raise a family, and they're called to form their children over the course of their marriage with good character, the teaching of Jesus, so that they can grow up to be good citizens, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a tremendous calling, a tremendous calling.
So at the beginning of that definition, it speaks of the good of the spouses. So I know, in other words, I've heard that I'm called to assist my husband into getting into heaven.
Right, right. That's a good way to put it, because when you think about it, all of us Christians, all Catholics, all Christians, should always think that our lives are about getting to heaven. I mean, this is not our home. We're on a journey. We have a mission. We have to evangelize the world, to share Jesus, to lead people to Jesus, because we want everyone to be, with our Father in heaven. Our lives on earth, of course, at times are struggles. We face all kind of temptations and difficulties, but we're called to always keep in mind that we're headed toward heaven, and therefore nothing should cause us to lose our faith, abandon God, or give up on life, because difficulties and challenges happen to everybody. With prayer and faith and trusting God, we can go forward and eventually reach the goal of our destiny, which is to be with God the Father in heaven.
Wonderful. Beautifully said. Now, the second part of that definition is for offspring, to have children.
Yes.
And I know that in our society today, there is a delay of having children. There's the desire not to have children, at least for some spouses. And what would you say to that?
I would say when you get married, you got to be open to God's plan for marriage, which is offspring. And of course, the church teaches that when couples share the intimacy of married love, that every act of intimacy is to be open to life, you know, that's the way God wants it, to be intentionally and artificially close to life would be sin against the covenant of marriage, which Catholics should avoid. Those sins, be open to life, and when God does send new life, you know, God is creator and parents are co-creators. You know, parents should rejoice in these gifts called children, babies, because, when they have children, I like to look at it this way. That's the jewels of the family. I mean, these kids will live forever. Everything else we have and own is going to pass away. But when you have a family, your children will live forever. And they are very precious gifts that God gives a couple to help form and grow and develop their character and then to let them go up, live out their lives, you know, as they get old enough to enter into marriage themselves.
Wonderful. And so we know, though, that in some circumstances, some marriages have difficulties for a variety of reasons. Again, the delay of getting married, first of all, is out there, and the delay of having children is out there. There's just a variety of difficult issues regarding the sacrament of matrimony, which is a beautiful sacrament given from God. Mm. So speak briefly about maybe the state of marriage in today's culture.
Yeah, today, for example, a lot of people are not even getting married. They're just kind of living together, and they're not living for each other. They're living for themselves under the same roof, and that's not going to work. That's not God's plan. Marriage is meant you come to another person and you commit your life to that person. You live for the other person and you live for your family. That's what the sacrament of matrimony is. And today, a lot of relationships, even marriages within the church that have been started properly with the blessing of the church, even though some of those marriages are facing challenges because of our culture, maybe people have not been adequately trained to embrace the responsibilities of married life, to be, you know, responsible, to be good parents. It demands a lot. Marriage demands a lot of a husband and wife. It is a 24/7 ministry, you know, giving of oneself, learning the importance of love and charity and faith and hope. And today what happens, I think, a lot of times people are at different levels of maturity and spiritual life. And I know in canon law, for example, we have grounds of nullity, where a person, for whatever reason, is not able to live out the duties of marriage. Maybe they have some sort of a psychological disorder. Maybe they lacking in discretion about marriage, their own ability to understand it or to live it out.
Perhaps one spouse doesn't want to have children.
Yeah, and
maybe so we're speaking about annulments then. People are familiar with that
this
word.
This leads into annulments because an annulment, let me explain that when people get married in the church with the church's blessing, there's always a presupposition that marriage is good and valid. We go forward and the couple lives out their marriage. But in some cases, there may be something present from the very beginning of the union that causes the marriage to be invalid. And when a divorce occurs and there's no chance of reconciliation due to all kind of problems, a party may say to themselves, well, was my marriage really valid or not? Was it really valid? And sometimes you'll find out that maybe it wasn't. Reasons for a marriage not being valid would be, you mentioned exclusion of children. If that's present from the beginning and one of the spouses to intentionally exclude children, that's an invalidating intention. Or maybe a person excludes. There's goods of marriage that you're supposed to embrace, like fidelity, permanence, lasting until death. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody says, well, I'll marry you for 3 years until I start feeling bad about you, then I'll leave you. You know, that's not a valid marriage.
Yes.
Marriages mean you commit yourself to each other until death, and no matter what comes, no matter what happens. And then, so you have those intentional grounds, but also we have psychological and grounds that where a person may be lacking the maturity, whether psychological or emotional or to be able to live out marriage.
To make that adult mature decision that they want to get married in the first place.
And to be able to even assume the duties of marriage. You're supposed to be able to have a, have a stable personality so you can establish an interpersonal relationship with your spouse. And it's supposed to be a life-giving kind of relationship. It demands a level of growth, a level of maturity, psychological, emotional, and you might even add spiritual, too, I think.
Okay.
So today, the state of marriage today is, we're all saddened by divorces. I think a lot is going on today in the world that is not part of God's plan for marriage, but people are doing things that are against what God wants, and that brings about divorces. And this, I just want to point out, unfortunately, today there's a lot of use of contraception. That's against God's laws. That does not build a loving relationship. That's going to hurt the family and the relationship. So, I'm just saying that what people need to do today is to pause a moment, reflect upon what does God want them to do with their lives. Look at their lives and listen to what God wants them to do. And if they try to do what the Lord wants, it's going to be good. God is good,
God is good. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
The Diocese of Corpus Christi is celebrating 30 years of youth spectaculars, 30 years of our youth sharing the faith. This year's events for middle school youth will contain memories of the past, as well as dynamic speakers, praise and worship music, games, adoration, and a closing mass. Sponsored by the Diocese Office of Youth Ministry, the 2013 Middle School Youth Spectacular is set for Sunday, September 22nd from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. at the Borchard Fairgrounds in Robstown. For complete information, call the Diocesan Youth Office at 882-6191 or visit diocesecc.org/youth.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Monsignor Pavanka, and we're speaking about marriage, and you had mentioned you were a judicial vicar and you worked in the tribunal. We spoke a little bit about that, and then we moved into annulments. What particularly is an annulment, Monsignor?
An annulment is a decision by church court that, having studied the facts about a particular marriage relationship and the details of that relationship, the court comes to a decision that that the marriage was invalid from the beginning for some ground or for some reason. We always say the grounds of a nullity are such and such. And so when you have an annulment, that means that the church officials, the judge has studied evidence, facts, to see if a particular ground was present that would nullify the union, and then a decision is made, okay, it's according to moral certitude, the judge says this marriage is invalid. Then it has to go to a second court because it takes two agreeing courts to actually make an annulment decision actionable. So that, let's say, if a person gets an annulment decision by the Tribunal of Corpus Christi, it then goes to the Tribunal of San Antonio. They either have to agree, and if they do agree, then the person is free to remarry.
And the reason for that is because the church does not take these types of things lightly.
Correct. As the church was very serious about this, and the people that the judges, advocates, those in the and the defender of the bond, those are the names of the officials. All of them are well experienced in marriage theology, kind of law, and what marriage is meant to be, and et cetera. So, and I think our tribunal does a very good job of its ministry.
Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. So then now, Monsignor Pavanka, I'm going to ask you particular questions that people are most commonly asked concerning marriage, being civilly married, what about remarriage, the sacraments, etc. So let's go ahead and talk about people that are civilly married or even living together. How is that different from being in a sacramental marriage, especially if you're Catholic?
Yeah, if you're Catholic, remember, if you're Catholic, you're required to marry in the presence of a Catholic priest for you to have a valid valid marriage and for you to receive sacraments. So if a Catholic, a baptized Catholic, gets married by a JP or by another minister outside the Catholic Church without permission from the bishop, that would not be a valid marriage. That would be, we would say that's an irregular union, and they would, that particular Catholic would be prevented from receiving any sacraments while they're in that union. Obviously, what the Church encourages Catholics to do is get married with a Catholic priest's blessing, marry in the Church, receive the sacrament of matrimony, and, you know, and this is what God wants. So are people living together? They need to make a decision. Do they want to be with each other until death? Because the relationship they're living in is not in accordance with God's plan. You know, these temporary relationships that involve intimacy are not part of God's plan. God's plan is for marriage.
There are some that stay together for decades, and they just don't want to get married. And they're afraid of commitment.
They need to bring Jesus into the relationship. That's mm-hmm. where I describe it to mm-hmm. people. Is you want to get close to God, you want to get close to Jesus and prepare for the kingdom, you know, got to bring Jesus into the relationship. And Catholics need to have the Catholic priest blessing that union.
Okay, so in other words, there for those that are civilly married, Catholics, baptized Catholics, that get civilly married by the justice of the peace, they are not at the moment living in a state of grace in
Correct.
Order to receive the sacraments.
Right, that we would they're not in a state of grace, so they couldn't receive any sacrament, including confession.
Now, what could they do to then get into a state of grace?
They simply need to approach their pastor, their priest, and say, Father, we want to get our marriage right with the Church. And we call that convalidation or blessing the union that maybe already exists. A civil union exists, but to become a sacrament, they need to have the Church convalidate that union and have it entered into as a sacrament in the Church. And the priest will give them directions on that, on what they need to do.
Okay. So let's go ahead and talk about remarriage. Let's say that someone was married in the Church. They did receive an annulment. They went through the process, and now they're trying to get remarried. How does that work?
Okay, if they've got an annulment, then they are really free to look to remarry again. If they're, you know, that's one thing. What if, let's say, for example, you get a couple party that's divorced, and they separate, and then one party begins looking around and decides to marry again outside the Catholic Church, marrying a second time outside the Catholic Church, without the blessing of the Church, because you know we only allow one marriage. Then they put themselves in a situation where they're not able to receive sacraments. That can happen. And I encourage couples that are in that condition, still come to church. Try to get the marriage blessed through the Church. If you need an annulment or whatever, go in that direction. Still come to church, but you are not permitted to receive sacraments. That's the laws of the Church here.
So let's talk about the laws of the Church. Because they're not in a state of grace, because they are not have not received the sacrament of matrimony, they are not able to receive the sacraments. And why is that so important?
Well, because the teaching of Jesus is clear on this, that you marry once for life. And if it turns out that, let's say, a marriage is null, and let's say somebody gets divorced and they marry somebody else outside the Church, and let's say many years later they seek an annulment and the Church says, yes, that first marriage was invalid, it's declaring something that at the time that person didn't know when they entered the second union. They if they sought an annulment, they would have discovered that. So then once that's clarified and the Church says, yes, there was no marriage there, then they're free to marry again. So it's a matter of respecting the laws of God here. So we're called to respect God's laws and not act contrary to them.
Exactly.
So that's okay. What I want to say.
Okay. Now, what about those, I think some of our listeners have heard this, that if you get a divorce, you are excommunicated.
It used to be the case in our country many years ago that there was a law passed by the bishops of our country that if you did get a divorce, that there was an excommunication, but that was done away with back in the 70s. And people still think that way, but it has been removed. And so if you get a divorce today or anybody divorced since the 70s, you know, it doesn't cause you to be excommunicated. In fact, if you get a divorce and you live separately, you can still receive sacraments, come to the Church, receive communion. confession, et cetera, et cetera.
If they're living a chaste life.
Yeah, chaste life by themselves, but it's only if they hook up with someone else that there's a problem.
I see. Okay. Now, this one's an interesting question regarding children. So the question is, are children from an annulled marriage illegitimate?
No, they are not. The reason is because of this. When you marry through the Catholic Church, all right, the marriage is presumed to be valid. We just automatically presume it's a good marriage. And let's say later on the marriage is discovered to be invalid. Well, because it was presumed to be valid but found out later to be invalid, we call it a putative marriage. And children born of a putative marriage are legitimate, no questions asked. Legitimate kids, no questions asked.
Wonderful. And I'd really like for you to encourage listeners that might know some people that are Catholic but and are married but only civilly married. How would you encourage them to look at the sacrament of matrimony and learn more about it so that they can have a convalidation?
Yeah. I guess you could look at it many ways, but what about this way? What about everybody thinking about the fact that, you know, regarding evangelization, that, you know, Jesus wants them to be in heaven one day with him. That's what we should all desire. And therefore, if that's true, then we need to follow his teaching and laws regarding marriage. And so consider the fact that part of your vocation, part of living out your Christian discipleship, is that if you decide that you want to live out, quote, marriage, seek the blessing of the church. You want to do what is pleasing to the Lord Jesus, and he calls all of his followers to be married through his church, to receive his blessing, to be, let him be the third party in that relationship. Say, if it's just a relationship excluding Jesus, and that's kind of what's happening to a large extent when you don't invite him into your union by being married in church, you know, it's the better thing is definitely have Jesus. You know, so that's, I would ask couples to look at it that way. You're on your way to heaven. You got to, we have to do what the Lord wants us to do, not do our own thing. And if we do what the Lord wants us to do, we'll seek that blessing of the church.
And finally, where can people get any of their questions, questions that we just spoke about, answered? Should they, would you direct them to their pastor?
The tribunal, especially if the pastor is not knowledgeable about a lot of these things, the tribunal and marriage law, they can call the tribunal office. Or there are priests that are well-trained in marriage. Some of our judges could answer questions, advocates for our tribunal. The best thing is call the tribunal office. You just call the diocese a number, and the tribunal office is there, they can get their questions answered. Or maybe their pastor. Their pastor may be able to help. Sometimes pastors don't know enough about the marriage law to answer those questions, so then they call the tribunal.
All right, and the number is 361-882-6191. Thank you, Monsignor Pavanka. Stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
There is an old saying that says all ships are safe in a harbor. In a similar vein, we have been taught to look out for number one, to do unto others before they do unto us. While there is some truth to this, it has unfortunately become lost in the telling and retelling. Ships are safest when they are in the harbor. And we do have to look out for ourselves, because we have to protect ourselves against those persons and events that threaten to harm us. However, ships are built to sail upon the seas, and we were not created to take care of only ourselves. What's good for us should be good for all, right? Wrong. For something to be authentically good, we must consider the intent to do good as well as the outcome for good. While a ship is built to sail the seas, we are created to form relationships and build community, to be in communion with one another. This often poses great difficulties, especially when our brother or sister does not want to have anything to do with us. Quite often this has to do with some small matter that neither party is willing to concede. Because of the distortion of what is good by the effects of sin, and the devil's own desire to cause disharmony and the lack of unity, we come to believe that others are out to get us, to cause us pain. This distrust can usually be traced back to anger over some past event that was never forgiven or reconciled. In the words of prayer that Jesus taught us, we are invited to move past these misdirected fears and anger by forgiving one another, even as we ourselves have been forgiven. When we don't trust one another whom we can see, how much more difficult does it become for us to trust God, whom we cannot see? Our father or mother dies, our spouse leaves us, or we suffer a debilitating illness, and in our woundedness we withdraw in confusion and pain, no longer able to trust that even God, whom we cannot see, can heal our wounds. At these moments, we are called to live the mystery of faith. When God takes something from your grasp, He's not punishing you, but merely opening your hands to receive something better. He wants us to accept the greatest gift He can give us, namely Himself. If we don't turn away from our own thoughts of the meaning of life and death to fully embrace His revealed truth, He knows that we will suffer not only here on earth, but in eternity forever. He invites us instead to become fully human, to embrace all that we have been created for, to receive the gift not only of His love, but the love of others. More than this, He invites us to enter into His selfless love and make a gift of our own love to Him and others. You may recall Jesus' words on the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Christ did not simply die on the cross. He gave His spirit back to the Father. God requires both living and dying from us, renunciation and acceptance. He shows us the unity of life and death on the cross. The psalmist reminds us of what is important. "You will redeem me, Lord." May your sacred moments lead you always to become all that you were created to be, and may God's blessings keep you from selfish ways. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Monsignor Pavanka, pastor at St. Elizabeth of Hungary in Alice, Texas. If you would like more information about marriage situations or want to learn more about an annulment, please call the Tribunal Office at 361-882-6191. Thanks again for joining us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.